is hour number three of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey, live from Whitestone Brewery in Cedar Park. We pick out the stems and seeds at 2:45 with the Texans going about their head coaching search in a very Texan sort of way. At 2:30, why do January 21st and 22nd matter? Sweatpants, amongst other things. And in mere minutes, we get you D-Gens ready for the divisional round of the NFL playoffs with the great Sam Panayotovich, a.k.a. Sam P. I'm Trey Elling. Isaiah Collier is back at the Horn Studio. Sitting next to me is Chad Hastings.
Yes, indeed. Thanks to Whitestone for having us out today. Also, thanks to Matt. Thanks to Francisco. Thanks to Kurt, who just came by to say hello. All the fans that have come up and said they listen to the station and the show. We do appreciate you. Also, lots of football to get into today, of course, including the divisional round games. And we head to the Vaquero's Cafe and Cantina Hotline right now to talk to our man, Sammy P, betting analyst for Nesson. He's the host of the Chicken Dinner Podcast, and we are told he might be stuck in traffic somewhere. Sammy P, how we doing? Are they being good to you out there?
I pulled over, just so you know, just in case my bosses are listening. By the way, I love that song. That song puts me in such a good mood every single week. I love it to death. We're following injury reports here, boys. I don't know if you saw the Rams just announced that left tackle Andrew Whitworth is out. So is their starting safety Taylor Rapp. So that's a big deal, you know, not having the blind side protected from Matthew Stafford. We just literally bet a little bit of Tampa Bay -2.5. Some books are starting to move to -3. But this is a big day for the injuries. You know, on Friday, you usually find out who's in, who's out. And those are two big losses for the Rams.
Yeah, they are.
So, yeah, that evens things up injury-wise in that game just a little bit, because heading into this one, at least as of yesterday, it was Tampa that was dealing with all the injuries. How quickly is it,
Yeah, they got two linemen that are sort of on the fence. Yeah, Jensen and Wirfs, we still no word yet on them. I've been told Jensen's going to play. Wirfs is the one that's sort of 50-50. We don't know yet. I'm sure we'll find out shortly. But it's funny, Trey, everybody was very happy to bet against Tampa last week. Because of all the injuries. They still have Tom Brady. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right about that. When it comes to injuries like this, though, and the update that you just gave us, how quickly do you have to act on information like that before the line swings significantly enough to where it doesn't really matter?
It's a good question. Now, around key numbers in the NFL, your threes and your sevens, it's not going to move that drastically. But say, you know, say Tampa was a 5-point favorite, and it turned out that, you know, Whitworth wasn't going to play, and Rapp wasn't going to play, and maybe a receiver wasn't going to play. You might then see that run to 5.5, 6, maybe 6.5. But it's going to be hard to justify a move off 3 with an offensive lineman and a safety. Like, those guys really aren't worth that much to the point spread. Now, a guy like Aaron Donald, If it finds out, or we find out, that Aaron Donald's not going to play, now that there's a guy that can move the line 2 points by himself, and that's a lot for a defensive player. The quarterback is the big mover. If a quarterback is out and his backup sucks, like when we saw Aaron Rodgers miss a game for COVID and Jordan Love had to play, like, that line moved 7 points. So your quarterbacks, especially from an elite quarterback to a bum, that's the biggest gap. But it's not going to move that much. I had a feeling that the line was going to move from 2.5 to 3, so we were happy to lay a little bit at 2.5. But it won't move. Like, it's not going to move to 3.5, 4, unless a crucial part of that Ram team is ruled out.
All right, Sammy, since you started with that game and talking about the Bucks, let's go to that other Sunday game, Buffalo, Kansas City. Just about a pick 'em game at this point, all the way down to, what, 1.5, I think is what I'm seeing here. What are your thoughts on that one?
Really good action both ways here, Chad. You know, this number opened up Kansas City -2.5. The early money came in on Buffalo, knocked it to 2, knocked it to 1.5, and now we're starting to see a little bit of buyback. Some people coming in and taking a little Kansas City now, laying 1.5. So it's very good two-way. Also, this total has been all over the place. It opened like 53. Got bet up to 55. Now we're at about 54. So the books are very happy. This is going to be a tremendous handle game. I'm almost positive it's the last game on Sunday night. So everybody, whether they're up or down or they just want a little action, they're going to bet it. I think the best play in the game, honestly, is probably a teaser play. I can make a case for both sides, but man, if I can make Buffalo an 8-point underdog, that's enticing. Like, if I can go Green Bay, tease them down from like 6 to pick, and then tease Buffalo up from 2 to 8, that's what I would do. But I mean, it's such a good game. It's such a tight line. It's very clear, though, the sports books and the professional money really respect Buffalo. Like, the fact that this isn't 3 and it never touched 3 and they didn't even think about opening at 3, that tells you a lot about the respect that's growing for Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills.
Sammy, how much of that do you think is, you mentioned the respect for Allen, the respect for the team, how much of it is also that they went to Kansas City and beat them by 18 during the season? They dominated that game.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly something to pay attention to as well, although I would argue, Chad, you know, the Chiefs are a much different team than they were back early in the season. Remember, that team stumbled out of the gate, and they were, what, 3-4. I think them bringing in Melvin Ingram has really changed a lot of their defense. You know, his ability to put pressure in the pocket, it makes Jones better, it makes Clark better, it makes the entire defense better. The secondary has, you know, better chances against the deep ball because they're getting the pass rush now up front. So I don't want to throw that completely out, that first meeting, but it's certainly something that people think about when they bet. And I'll tell you what helps, Buffalo just pounding New England last week. I think, if anything, that's more, you know, prominent rather than the meeting earlier in the season. Like, people just watch Buffalo go up and down the field, 7 drives, 7 touchdowns against a Belichick defense in the playoffs. If anything, that's in the back of the minds of the bettors.
Sam, I'm really intrigued by Cincinnati, Tennessee, but there are a fair number of people suggesting that this could be the biggest blowout of the weekend. What do you think about the Titans as 3.5-point favorites, or is there something else about this game that you're considering putting some action on?
That line feels good, and I'll be honest with you, Trey. Like, you know me, like, I'm trying to help you guys make money. I'm not going to pick every game, but if I don't think I have an edge, I'm not going to play it. And I've made no bet on this game, but I can tell you that when it opened in Vegas, Tennessee was a 2.5-point favorite. It got whacked, man, right away. Like, they laid 2.5, they laid 3, and now we're at 3.5. Some books are at 4. So the professionals came in, laid it with Tennessee. I mean, if I had to pick the game, who's going to win it, I'd say Tennessee. So naturally, I'd probably lay the points if you put a gun to my head. But I think the first round bye, man, is a big deal. You know, I really like the situation that Tennessee is in. I also like the one that Green Bay is in, where you're just able to get healthy. And guys that have been dinged up, they're able to take a week off and kind of, you know, ease back into the flow of things. So Derrick Henry's back for Tennessee, which makes everybody else better because now the defense has to account for a battering ram. It makes the play-action game better. The receivers are more open. And I do like Mike Vrabel. I mean, you look at what Vrabel's done with time to prepare. I think he's 8-0 all-time straight up with extra time to prepare, and they certainly have that coming off the bye. So I've been betting against Joe Burrow, and the guy's been killing me, man. Like, he killed me against Kansas City. He killed me last week against the Raiders. And I do appreciate the way Joe Burrow throws the ball to Ja'Marr Chase. Like, that's another interesting prop for this week. Ja'Marr Chase's receiving prop for catches is 5.5. I feel like he's going to get 8 catches. I mean, you know he's going to get 10 targets because, man, they just feed him the football. That's something to pay attention to.
Talking with Sammy P., betting analyst for Nesson, also host of the Chicken Dinner podcast. All right, Sammy, when you're looking for history in the NFL, doesn't get much better than San Francisco and Green Bay. So here we go. Aaron Rodgers, a 5.5-point favorite. He gets to drag Garoppolo out into like 10-degree weather on Saturday night. What do you think?
I laid the points. Actually, on Sunday when these lines came out, Green Bay was -4.5 at some shot.
Whoa.
Like, come on. Yeah, and that didn't, trust me, that didn't last too long. You know, it got to 5, 5.5. We saw a lot of 6 on Wednesday and Thursday, but the professional guys and the metric bettors, the people that look at the analytics, they love San Francisco, man. They bet them last week against the Cowboys. They're betting them at +6 and +5.5, but guys, I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo is any good. Like, I don't feel like San Francisco won that game. Dallas lost that game. What, they have 15 penalties, 7 pre-snap penalties? Mike McCarthy stinks. I mean, that's a different conversation for a different day. But I feel like Garoppolo with a bad toe, a bad thumb, a bad elbow, and a sore shoulder going into the freezing temperatures if he gets planted by somebody, how's he going to throw the football? I mean, we know already that his shoulder is nowhere near 100%. That guy's like the bionic man right now. And I think Aaron Rodgers, I've told you guys this season, he's been in middle finger mode literally all year. Like, if they don't win this game and they don't go to another Super Bowl, this season is a failure in Green Bay. That's how good they are. And it's also worth noting they're getting healthier. Bakhtiari's likely back. Za'Darius Smith is back. Jair Alexander is back. Green Bay's getting healthy at the right time, off the bye at home. I like them to win by a couple scores.
Hey, Sam, general question about the Patriots, because you are in the Boston area, surrounded by Pats fans. Obviously, this season is a bit of a disappointment, even with the rookie quarterback, because the expectations have been so heightened over the last two decades now. Where are people with the Patriots and Bill Belichick going forward? He obviously gets a ton of benefit of the doubt because of all the titles he's brought there. But are people optimistic about the direction of that franchise right now?
Let me put it this way. On Monday, I was listening to the local radio station out here, and within 10 minutes of me turning on the station, I heard that Bill Belichick needs to go, and they need to get rid of Mac Jones. Yeah.
Wow.
So that's sort of ridiculous when you really think about it. But, you know, this team is so used to winning. That's the power of success, sustained success, right? With Brady for two decades, the guy played in 9 Super Bowls here. So the expectations are so high. But I try and tell people, look, what were the preseason expectations? New England was supposed to be an 8 or a 9-win team. They weren't supposed to make the playoffs, and they were transitioning to a rookie quarterback. Going 10-7 and making the playoffs is a good season given what they were supposed to do. So you have to give this kid time. They're going to bring in more weapons in the offseason. They'll probably draft a wide receiver. Belichick spent a lot of money in free agency last year, so we'll see what happens there. But, yeah, people here are going mad because they can't stand that this team is no longer a contender. And it doesn't get any easier when you look down at Tampa Bay and Brady's on his way to another, you know, Super Bowl run potentially. I think that's a little terrifying too.
Yeah, no doubt about that. All right, Sam, before we let you go, is there anything you're really digging in the NBA or in college basketball right now?
Not in the NBA, man. I won't bet that BS in a regular season. I don't know who cares. I don't know.
That's why I love you, Sam.
Yeah, man, that sport sucks to gamble on because I just don't know who cares on a day-to-day basis. I will tell you this, Trey. You got to follow Chicken Dinner on Twitter because at like 2 o'clock Eastern in the morning last night, we found out that Kofi Coburn wasn't going to play for Illinois. And Maryland plus 7.5 was discussed on Twitter. The line is 3.5, 4 now. So, I mean, I can't tell you. Yeah, I mean, I can't tell you to take Maryland now, but these college basketball moves, man, they happen fast and furious. And, yeah, we were able to get some Maryland plus 7.5. Very happy with that number, given the fact that the market's a lot lower right now.
Did you just say you're laying action at 2 in the morning?
If you find out the best player in the Big Ten isn't going to play, you bet. You don't care what time it is, buddy.
You are savage.
You get out of bed is what you do. Sammy P., betting analyst for Nesson. He's the host of the Chicken Dinner podcast, and he will go after the action at 2 in the morning if it means doing it at 2 in the morning. At SP Shoot on Twitter. Sammy, get back in traffic, man. Safe travels, and we'll talk to you next week.
I wasn't in bed. I was at the bar. Come on.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Sam.
Sammy P., all right, there you go. With some of his thoughts, he says don't even think about betting that Tennessee game, but he likes Green Bay with the points there. He says if you can tease that Buffalo game, go after it, and he likes Tampa Bay in the Tampa Rams game. All right, Trey, we have a couple minutes here. It's happened again. It happens all the time. Jerry Jones said something weird, and people are going to make a story out of it. So I think it's time to play another game of are you ready to take Grandpa's keys? Are you ready?
All right. What did he say this time?
Okay. They asked Jerry.
Because you know I'm ready for you guys' sake with Jerry. That needs to end for y'all to even have a chance.
They asked Jerry about Mike McCarthy and his future. He said, quote, I'm not going to get into any conversations that I've had with anybody relative to anything to do with the staff. I understand the interest in, but there's nothing compelling to me, blah, 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 blah. Here's the part people are going to get on him about. It begins with, quote, now let me be real clear. One of the pet peeves I have is that I don't like this. Well, we've got to work on this in the off season. We've got to work on this. I don't go for that. I want those things recognized and addressed after we play Tampa, after the first game, or after we play the sixth game. I don't want to wait until we're sitting here with no season left to address these things we're doing or not doing. So all of that is in the mix here as part of what I do. The ultimate decision on these coaches and anywhere around here is one that I have to make. So the guy that you're going to be toughest on should be the one in the mirror. Lord, here's the one. He's the one that has the ultimate responsibility, and consequently, I get to operate at that guy's timeline. You ready? You done with it? You done with it yet? You want his keys?
Is he about to can Mike McCarthy?
I don't know. I think it's interesting that that's what you got out of it. All I think he's doing is setting himself up for this reaction. Jerry, everything you're talking about gets handled by head coaches and GMs, and you don't have either one.
Well, it sounds
that's
like
your problem.
He was pretty ticked that he didn't have a guy that could make adjustments in the middle of the season.
But
and by the way, he's got a point with that,
of course
too.
He does. Of course he does.
But it's also on him because he got duped by Mike McCarthy's reformed, evolved coach nonsense based on him inviting a couple of his coaching buddies to his Wisconsin compound.
He also said, I've got everyone under contract that I want to have under contract, so that's where we are.
Sheesh.
But here's how about this comment about the assistants, asking about them, you know, Moore and Quinn getting interviews. Quote, the team and their functions got us in a position, healthy, in a position to win a Super Bowl. I'm just going to stop right there. Do you think this Dallas Cowboys team was in a position to win a Super Bowl? Is that how you'd describe them?
No.
Okay, me either. I'm just making sure. And so I'm very guarded about throwing all that down the drain because we didn't win one of the steps in the playoffs getting to the Super Bowl. Now, that's more accurate. So to answer your question,
You didn't win the first step.
The first step, right.
First step.
So to answer your question, I take into consideration a lot about how we did this year in the regular season and what it meant and what the record meant. So I will, and so, yes, I thought we did a really good job of getting to the playoffs. Still, I can't get over what we did in the playoffs. End quote. Come on, Jer.
You should be ticked about that.
Once again, Cowboys fans, does anybody want to go get Grandpa's keys?
It doesn't matter if you do.
I've been asking you for these keys for years. Can somebody please find the man's keys?
He's not giving them up.
Oh, my
God. It's only going to happen when he dies, much like with Al Davis, man.
I'm sorry.
You're stuck with that for probably another 15 to 20 years.
And it's really weird. About that guy in the mirror, Jerry, that guy has looked in the mirror and had to deal with all kinds of teams that didn't adjust.
Yeah.
Coached by all kinds of buffoons that you brought in because you don't do the real football stuff. Like, is there anybody in his life that tells him this stuff? He has to hear it. He's got radio shows that do it. He allows DallasCowboys.com to rip him up one side and down the other. How has he not come to this realization before now? He's only kind of getting there, but he's basically indicting himself here. Well, I'm just not about that after the season stuff. Right, Jer, but you're not about the in-season stuff either, because that's what coaches do.
So I think the way that he's justifying it is that's the conversation that he's going to be having with a lot of people. Like, you need to do a better job of making adjustments in the middle of the season. Otherwise, your time here is going to be pretty short-lived. Yeah.
And if you're right, then the discussion is it took him a quarter century to figure it out.
That's the troubling part.
If that's really where we're headed.
Why are you not having that conversation with those people in the middle of the season if it's that big of an issue for you?
Oh, my God.
Why are you not pulling Mike McCarthy into your office and saying, dude, we've got a problem with penalties. We need to figure out how to correct this right now versus waiting until the offseason to do so.
They were the most penalized team going into the San Francisco game.
Yep.
There were issues coming out of that Bucs game. We all talked about it. Your kicker cost you 4 points in the Bucs game.
Mm-hmm.
It happened in game one. Like, what are you talking about? I wish we'd have known that before game one. After game one, I knew it. Tom Brady knew it. He could have told you from the other side.
I hope you've come to accept that y'all probably aren't winning another Super Bowl until you're in your 60s.
I hope it's in my 60s. I'm praying it's in my 60s.
He'll probably be gone by then.
I'm hoping to live to see it as a Cowboys fan. That's what I'm hoping for right now. All right, thanks to Sammy for his time as always. Up next, it is January 21st. We'll tell you why it matters. Two RIPs in the world of entertainment today. A music legend died and a comic legend died. We talked about him earlier. We'll bring that back around, plus a couple national days for you, and a big happy birthday in the world of sports. We'll get you a national sports icon and a regional sports icon coming up. We're at White Stone Brewery here on White Stone Boulevard in Cedar Park. Come see us. This is The Horn.
Right back at ya. It's the world's most talented
Shirts and Skins.
Murder Inc. And that angelic voice you hear in the background.
Oh, all right, rolling through a Friday. Trey, Isaiah has been, well, let's just say destroying us with the rap stuff lately. The rap, the hip-hop, we've been awful, terrible. Can you do something here? Can you help out? I don't know if I can. I feel bad.
It's much like Bill Paxton and Bill Pullman, that I confuse one for the other, or just the names Mike and Matt in general. I always flip-flop those names. I always confuse Ja Rule with DMX. I feel like that was...
I feel like this will be neither.
No?
No, I don't know. I'm just... The way you've been guessing and we've been guessing lately, I don't know if it's going to happen.
Waiting to hear him again, but I don't know if that's going to happen. Was that Ja Rule?
Yeah, that was Ja Rule. Great job, Trace.
Got it. Well done.
Got it.
Well done.
Thank you.
How about that female voice, Zay? Who's that?
That is Ashanti.
Ashanti. Okay. Very nice. Very nice. Good job, Trey. Good job. Ja Rule. Isaiah producing. We've had some Ja Rule now. We've had Cisco, Spice Girls, Red Hot Chili Peppers, and Cream. Now, that's a good mix right there on a Friday. And we're having a lot of fun out here in Cedar Park. We're in Trey's neck of the woods at White Stone Brewery. We've had a little hop water. We've done a little taste testing. What are you taste testing over there, Trey? What is that?
This is the melted snowman that's on the nitro tap, Chad. It is so silky smooth. Oh. Please have your taste.
All right, I'm
going to
try this. I've not tried the melted snowman. Let me try this.
It is so good during the winter months, especially when it's a little chilly outside like it is right now.
Oh, as my grandmother used to say, heavenly day. That is good.
And I've also had the beer that's got a little bit of a margarita feel to it, and that was good, too. It's got some nice salinity.
Would that be the Mexican lager I was told about earlier?
Yeah.
I was told to try a Mexican lager. I haven't done that yet, but I've been told it's great.
Oh, man, my memory is failing me. I feel like it's Mira. Yeah, the Mira Mexican lager.
There it is. Beautiful. All right, they got a lot of stuff for you to try out here. And come tomorrow in their 6th anniversary celebration, even more, because they're going to be debuting new beers and all of that. They brought us some of the cans of the new stuff that's going to be out, including the You Want S'more, which I think this is this character here. Are we trying to go Sandlot with this character here?
It looks Sandlot.
Little Sandlot-y?
Jackie would appreciate that you recognize the character. She does a great job with the artwork on these cans. Also, the Cherry Trejo.
Little Danny Trejo reference.
Bourbon barrel-aged imperial stout aged on fresh cherries and chocolate.
Yeah, absolutely.
That does look like Danny Trejo with a heart for a head.
Yeah, you drink two or three of those, and you will think your head's crawling across the desert. That is exactly what you'll think. All right, you got all kinds of stuff going on out here. Tomorrow they'll open at 12 with that 6th anniversary celebration. Thanks to Ryan and the crew for having us out here at Whitestone. Also want to remind you, Texas men's and women's basketball tomorrow. You only have to remember one time, but two stations. 1 o'clock tip for both. Women are going to Fort Worth, 105-3 The Bat. They just got a massive win in Ames. They're going to try to continue that momentum, 3-2 in conference. Then right here on the Horn, you're going to have the men's team trying to find some momentum back after losing to K-State. They host Oklahoma State, 12:30 pregame, 1 o'clock tip. Trey, I am really interested in the atmosphere at the Irwin Center tomorrow. The Longhorn fan base can be unforgiving sometimes. Do you think they'll show up on a Saturday, give that team some support, because they may need it? This is a team that beat them in Stillwater.
Some will, Chad, but I hate to admit this. I care very little about this basketball team right now.
Oh, man. Okay.
I thought I would care more at this point in conference play. Not quite a month in just yet, but I'm pretty apathetic, and I believe a lot of people fall into my category.
Yeah, I think you may be right, and we'll see how they play tomorrow at 1. Also in the Big 12, the wild Big 12 continues. West Virginia's going to Tech. Baylor will go to Norman. Kansas and Kansas State get together for the first time. They'll do that at the Octagon of Doom in Manhattan, and TCU goes to Iowa State. If you're just jumping in with us, it is official now. Gary Patterson's wearing burnt orange for a little while, at least when people are looking. He is an analyst and assistant to the head coach now for the University of Texas. We've been talking NFL, obviously. Looks like Derrick Henry's going to play. And then late breaking from Sammy P. Of Nesson, that just told us, looks like Whitworth, the Rams listed, looked really clean, but all of a sudden, a safety's not playing, but more importantly, Whitworth. So, Trey, you could go into that game where Stafford may not have his left tackle, Brady might not have his right tackle.
That's huge. I mean, hearing the Rams news, it put a look on our faces. Like, we feel less good about taking L.A. last hour.
And he's kind of the Jensen for me of that offensive line, just that older, experienced, I'll play through anything kind of guy. If he can't go, that dude's hurt. Hurt.
Exactly.
If he can't play. So we'll keep an eye on that one for the weekend. Let's get you a little January 21st and why today matters. Here we go.
Why Today Matters, brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialists. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialists, 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
All right, well, I'll start with the downside of it. One of them entertained millions with music. The other did it with comedy. Meatloaf and Louis Anderson both died today, and a lot of folks are reacting to that one. You said it earlier, you know, both our wives react to that kind of story. I got friends. Nobody texts me in the morning just for no reason unless something, you know, but it's that kind of stuff. And my man Rick Sacamano is a big Meatloaf fan. He texts me right away. He's the one that wanted me to listen to Bad Outta Hell, you know, and he grew up with that and loved that record. And I guess it was in college where he told me he really got into that album. So he was heartbroken, texting me right away, dude, Meatloaf died. I can't believe it. So
you think he shed a tear while listening to Meatloaf today?
Probably.
Or will it happen this weekend?
He's already done it. He listens to so much music. I bet he's already listened to Bad Outta Hell at least once today, if not twice.
Okay.
Like, that dude finds ways to listen to music I don't even understand.
Well, you know what? Our thoughts are going out to Meatloaf's family, friends, and those fans who loved him as much as Sacamano apparently does.
Yeah, man. It was a big part of a lot of people's lives, I know, musically. Louis Anderson was a comedian I remember. He was in the first wave of comedians I remember. I loved Louis when he was on Johnny, because the set would always – he was a great clean comic. He was one of my first big clean comics, him and Jerry Seinfeld. And then when he would come on with Johnny – I just always enjoyed it. The wit was great. The speed with which he could work his way around stuff. They could never get him off his, you know, they could never get him off his game. Mm-hmm. I loved the way Louis's mind worked and all the bit parts we talked about today in movies and stuff. The baskets roll. He's a beast, man.
Honestly, that one hit me harder than Meatloaf did. Meatloaf, I was like, oh, that's a bummer. Meatloaf died. Louis Anderson, I was like, damn, there goes somebody that has made a positive impact on my life in the last 5 years because of baskets.
The thing I loved about in rewatching, you know, because we watched Coming Up to America 2, which was not good, but in rewatching the original, what he was able to do with his little bit of time was fantastic. That little speech about the lettuce and the fries, and that's when the big money, I mean.
So good.
It still plays the same way. Louis is and will always be a legend. So just like we said with Betty White and John Madden and who was the third one there in that run? And then Sidney Poitier.
Yeah.
Just like we said with those three, man, because it's that art and it's entertainment, sometimes you can now go back and check out all the stuff. So
wait a second. Poitier, Bob Saget, Madden, Betty White, Meatloaf.
Yeah.
Louis Anderson. I guess that's the second trifecta. Saget, Meatloaf, and Louis Anderson.
Yeah, that's true, because the other trifecta ended with Sidney Poitier.
Right.
Yeah, so you're right. Yeah, that is. And in two comedians and an entertainer there. And when he wanted to be and was acting, I always thought Meatloaf was funny. Like, he had that comic timing a little bit to him, too. I dug some of the movie roles.
I liked Meatloaf more as an actor than I did a musician.
Yeah, I kind of did, too. I like my wife's Meatloaf even more than I liked Meatloaf, but that's a whole other topic.
We've never been a big Meatloaf family.
Really?
At the Elling household, no.
It is an insulted food. I understand that, but I grew up with an incredible Meatloaf from my grandmother, and then my wife whipped one up in like on date four. She could feel like, oh, this is a Meatloaf kind of guy, and she was right. I love it.
I have no issues with a good Meatloaf. It's just not something that we've done a ton of. Like, I can see us getting really into turkey Meatloaf at some point.
Now that's gross.
It's like another. What do you mean that's gross? It's not like I said turkey that's, bacon.
Oh, come on.
I just said turkey
come
Meatloaf.
Come on, dude. Elsewhere today, Trey, on the positive side of things, let's go with a couple of big birthdays. Jack Nicklaus has a birthday today. The legendary golfer is 82. That's Ohio State on the old school, if you don't know it. And in the region, I know a lot of people around here are going to get a nice smile on their face when I tell them that the Dream has a birthday today. Hakeem Olajuwon is 59 years old. Obviously, Houston is that old school, one of the best centers that ever played the game.
Yes, he is. I was a Rockets fan in the 1990s. It was a joy getting to watch him just use that incredible footwork that was rooted in his abilities as a soccer goalie to just have opposing centers moving all over the place, leaving him with pretty easy shots around the basket.
He's unbelievable. And to me, the biggest compliment I'll give him as a Mavs fan is when, if I go all-time team, because of my time watching the NBA, I got to go with Kareem. Ultimately, I'm a Kareem guy for my starting center. But I'd have the Dream sitting on the bench ready to come in for him. I think he'd be my number two all-time center if I could put it all together.
One of the great sports hypothetical disappointments that we will never truly know the answer to is how would those Rockets teams have fared against those Michael Jordan Bulls teams?
Yeah, great question.
Because they never faced a center as talented and dominant as Hakeem was in those 2 years. And Vernon Maxwell, for all the jokes that people want to make about him losing his temper and things like that, he really was one of the few guys in the league who had some successes defending against Michael Jordan.
Yeah, I ultimately uh-oh. There was a laugh coming from Zay there.
Don't make me figure out how to get a hold of your big brother, Zay, so we can not only continue the Otis Thorpe v. Robert Horry debate.
Here we go.
But so that your brother and I can tell you exactly how those Rockets teams would have beaten those Chicago Bulls squads.
What do you think, Zay?
I mean, yeah, if you think Vernon 6'3 Maxwell could guard Michael Jordan, sure, I guess they would have had a shot. But, yeah, Hakeem, yeah, he was absolutely unguardable. My favorite center of all time. But it's just funny. Mad Max on Michael Jordan, that's hysterical.
He had successes. You laugh. You were a little bit too young to truly remember having watched or maybe being a little bit biased in your own head.
But to be fair, as Zay just pointed out, Zay is not too young to measure heights and know that
sometimes a smaller guy can figure out how to get at a bigger dude, even if it's Vernon Maxwell and Michael Jordan.
Do you remember how hard Michael Jordan laughed when Gary Payton was talking about how he could guard him? And Gary, Mad Max ain't even on the same level as GP when it comes to this defensive game. So that's all I'm saying. What do I know? I don't know.
Gary Payton, once he was finally able to guard Michael Jordan that series, did a better job versus the whoever it was that George Karl was rolling out there.
Oh, Hershey Hawkins.
Hersey Hawkins, who at that point was probably like 39 years old after like three knee surgeries.
Zay, what's the result? Bulls against the Rockets. What do you got? Bulls and what?
I don't know, because Luke Longley and Bill Wellington and all those slow-footed guys, I couldn't see them touching Hakeem. So
yeah, Hakeem, right?
That'd be a tough matchup, I'm not going to lie. It's Scotty versus Robert Horry when Robert actually had athleticism. That'd be a really good matchup.
We've been robbed in sports of certain things.
Horace Grant and Otis Thorpe, that, by the way, that would have been a fun individual matchup to watch, too.
I would ultimately pick the Bulls to win the series, but, man, that would be fun to watch. Because you're right, a center of that level. Obviously, Michael was able to go up against one of the great power forwards of all time and win, one of the great point guards of all time, and that combo with Utah and win. But Hakeem Olajuwon, it did not happen. So with those Bulls teams and beating those Rockets teams, we will never know. But we do know that Hakeem is a legend, 59 years old today. Hope he is doing well on this Friday. All right, coming up, we'll get you stems and seeds before we get out of here. Try to run through some of those big injury updates in the NFL. Division round is coming. Plus, we'll give Whitestone a little more love before we get out of here. Stay with us. It's The Horn.
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey.
All right, just about to wrap it up on a Friday. Sound like Isaiah was going, yeah, he is. Sound like he was going CSI. He's going CSI. It's an easy one because the name of the band is also in the name of the song. It all works together.
I never thought about that before.
There you go. Who Are You by The Who, which was the big song in CSI. Isaiah, were you raised at all with The Who in the house?
Nope, not at all, but I know this is a jam.
Yeah, it is a jam. It is a jam, and The Who could put on a hell of a live show.
Yeah,
in their prime.
The Who is another one of those for me, too, that I don't think I ever really paid attention to until adulthood. But you got to respect the genius.
In fact, I'll make a comparison to this musical legend we lost today. The Who, the difference to me between The Who and, say, The Stones or The Beatles is The Who pushed a little more towards where Meatloaf ended up than those other bands did. The Who were a little more
Opera rock?
Right, a little more into the theatrics of it. And Tommy and all of that. They got into a little more of that, the show, the concept of things.
I concur.
They helped to push forward ideas like concept albums and, you know, the idea that you do something like Tommy. That was a little more of The Who. But that right there, yeah, that's an all-timer. Who Are You is an incredible song. Thanks to Isaiah, as always, for producing for us. I am hoping that Isaiah is as bad at picking games this week as he is good at picking music. So if you missed the Coors Light six-pack picks, Isaiah and I are going with Tennessee. Trey's going with Cincinnati. Isaiah and I are different on Green Bay, San Francisco, because I got to catch him. He's going Green Bay. I'm going San Francisco. Trey's going with the Packers as well. I'll go Kansas City. Those two guys are going with Buffalo and the Rams. Trey and I are both taking the Rams. Isaiah's taking the Bucks. That makes me feel good that the Bucks are going to win and maybe win big. If Trey and I are both on the other side, we will see. Again, we are out at Whitestone Brewery. We'll give you a little bit more on Whitestone and get you some notes from around the NFL and sports. Let's go stems and seeds real quick.
No stress, no seeds, no stems, no sticks.
Brought to you by AV Consultations, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. Shout out again to Whitestone for having us out. I think I'm going to try that Mexican lager before I get out of here.
It's tasty. I had a half pint of that. Just finished off some of that melted snowman nitro tap. I may have a long gone blonde up next, Chad. Remember, Whitestone celebrates their 6-year anniversary tomorrow. It's here at the headquarters, of course, on 1431, a.k.a. Whitestone Boulevard, between the 183 Toll Road and Bell Boulevard in the heart of Cedar Park. It's in the Rail Yard Shopping Center. This is a phenomenal place. The beer is incredible. The hop water, of course, is really good, too. And it's locally owned, by the way. This is a mom-and-pop operation, and they continue to just find ways to continue growing this spot in impressive ways. The latest is the hop water, but they're going to have some special beers that they're releasing tomorrow, also some live music, really good food, and of course some limited edition glassware that you can purchase. Come on and pay us a visit. If you want to find out more, go to whitestonebrewery.com.
All right, some of these injuries we hadn't mentioned yet. Bakhtiari for the Packers, questionable with the knee. Valdez-Scantling, doubtful with the back. Randall Cobb has been pulled off IR with a core. He had got a core injury in week 12.
That's going to help a little bit. He's still a third option for them because Alan Lazard has done such a great job of stepping up over the last month.
Kansas City, Darrell Williams, the running back, didn't practice yesterday with a toe. Nick Bosa, questionable with the concussion, but they think he's going to play.
Right.
Jimmy G and Warner will play in the game, and they're going to activate Derrick Henry today in Tennessee. Maybe the biggest one we've heard today, though, that we didn't know about was Whitworth. He is out for the Rams, is what the betting guys are hearing. That could be a big impact on Stafford.
Okay, who knows what the Texans are ultimately going to do in terms of replacing David Culley. as head coach of that franchise. But we just know they're going to go about things in a very Houston Texans manner.
Yep.
And that is playing out right now with Josh McCown, of all people.
Haven't they already interviewed him?
So they interviewed him, and apparently the Texans are really interested in McCown.
Wow.
But before they make an official move and bring them on as their next head coach, they're waiting for another team, at least one other team, to show a little bit of interest in Josh McCown so it validates the decision they ultimately make at head coach.
Wow. Yeah, when I heard some of that today, that is bizarre. The fact that they actually might like Josh McCown.
That's surprising in and of itself. The fact that they're so afraid to operate because they know the criticism that they'll face, so they're praying that somebody else brings them in for an official interview so they can jump on him and grab him as their next head coach.
That is so bizarre. Thank you for having us out at Whitestone today.
This is an absolute pleasure. The free hop water offer is now off the table, but come on out to Whitestone today. Chad and I will be hanging out for a couple of minutes, and I'll be bringing the family out tomorrow, maybe before or after our soccer game. I'm forgetting when that is, but Whitestone Brewery, congratulations. 6 years, still going strong, and just continuing to crank out the great products in terms of the beer and that hop water, too.
All right, everybody, have a great weekend. Remember, both basketball teams tomorrow at 1. RBKD is coming right up. See you.